Welcome once again to another episode of Demand Gen Radio, the one program that brings you all the latest methods and technologies for driving growth and increasing demand. With the voice of Demand Gen, David Lewis.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Demand Gen Radio. So good to see you guys. I hope you can see me. If you guys are not watching Demand Gen Radio, the podcast on our YouTube channel, well, check it out because you'll get to see me and my guest today live right here. Well, I guess not technically live, but you know, you'll get to see us. And the reason that I like to send you over to the YouTube channel for those that want to go there is you can drop comments and engage and say hi to my guest, whatever you want to do. But for those of you that are listening on the podcast app, so glad to be in your ear and thank you for that. Today's guest is someone who I've had on the program before. Her name is Jill Rowley. I think a lot of you know her that tune into the program. The reason I'm excited to have Jill on the program today is we are going to talk about partnering as a way to go to market. You know, for all of us to talk about omni-channel marketing, we have to talk about a very important channel, and that is partnering. And I think Jill and I have the recipe for success. The question is it scalable? And we're going to talk about that. But before we get to that, as you guys know, we announced some very big news, very, very big news. And that is that Demand Gen is joining BDO Digital. And the podcast is not going away and Demand Gen TV is not going away. But the reason that I want to have Jill on the program today, which is actually March 15th, is tomorrow we complete the transaction to join BDO Digital. And if there was one person besides myself that I really have to credit with all of what happened, it is Miss Jill Rowley, and we'll tell that story. So please put your hands together and welcome Jill Rowley. Hey, Jill.
I'll welcome myself and welcome you to the conversation. Spirit fingers.
Yeah, I asked you if you had welcome music. We didn't come up with a song, but who needs welcome music if you're Jill Rowley?
You're too kind.
Well, if I'm too kind, just wait because I'm going to try to bring you to tears because I want to talk to you for a moment. About 3 weeks ago, I called you with the news and I said, hey, I got some big news for you. Are you sitting down? And you're never sitting down, but you told me you were sitting down. You were on the move. And I told you the news of Demand Gen signing a definitive agreement to join BDO Digital. And I said something really personal to you that I want to say here again and to everyone else. Like, you were the catalyst for all this. You were the person that not only was the catalyst of me starting Demand Gen, but I was asking you if you remember, I said, as a salesperson, you know, when you look back in your career and you go, that was a cool deal, and that was a cool deal, and that was a big commission check, and that was a relationship, that was a friend that I made. I always wondered, Jill, do you realize now how you selling, at that time, licensing Eloqua to me at LEMP, May, just the profound impact that that has had on this industry? Have you reflected on that since that call a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations on the acquisition. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Really validates what you've done, the work you've done over the past, I don't know, 13 and a half years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, really helping change, modernize the industry, right? From marketing automation to demand generation to account-based marketing to, I mean, just everything, building an ecosystem. So yeah, congratulations. Yeah, I have actually reflected on it quite a bit. And I actually recently did a podcast, my first podcast on partnerships. And it's a Jared Fuller and Partner Up is his podcast. I highly recommend the podcast. Not my version or not my episode, but the one in general. You can listen to my episode too. But and in preparation for that, I really went back to the old notebooks from our, you know, our beginning of the day from really 2004 when you were head of marketing at LEMA.
It was technically 2003. And for those of you guys, let me tell you how this happened. This is amazing. This is like quite the hero's journey story. So I'm working at another company, a startup that we sold to Google. It was very short-lived. It was cool. It was a cool product, but it was such a short stint for me that I didn't even put it on my LinkedIn profile. Like it was a 1-year stint, in and out. And when I was at that company and we were bringing our product to market, I went to this VC roundtable with a bunch of marketing leaders. And at that, I can't remember the company's name, but someone said, hey, by the way, now this is like circa 2002. And someone said, hey, if you guys haven't checked out this platform called Eloqua, we just got it and it's amazing. We were using MailChimp and we were doing all of our email marketing and programs that, but this thing's really cool. So I took out my black notebook that I still have and I wrote down, check out Eloqua. And I went to the website, because back then the company was called Eloqua, not Oracle. And there was like a demo request or something like that. And I'm like, I love to see tech. So I filled out the demo request form. And if you're looking at her, this is the person who called me back. There was no SDRs back then. Jill called me and said, hey, you filled out a demo request form. I'd like to schedule a demo. And I said, I watched a little bit. I think it was like an animated, you know, trailer. I said, candidly, I don't want to waste your time. Like, I'm leaving. Like, I'm leaving the company I'm at. So this is not about an opportunity for there, but the company that I'm talking to, they probably could really use a platform like this based on the interviewing that I've been doing with them. So I leave Green Border and I go to Ellie Mae and I called you, I think within the first 4 weeks, because the challenges I had in front of me, I knew we were going to need to take this company that was a very antiquated go-to-market strategy and bring you in. And just such like an incredible presence as a salesperson, like, I am here to help you transform your business. You are so confident, but you said to me, do you remember what you asked me about some qualifying questions? You had one big one for me.
I actually qualified you out based on the CRM, the Salesforce automation that Ellie Mae was using, and it was Pivotal. I refer to it as pitiful,
right?
Because it was pitiful, and it was on-premise software. It wasn't SaaS, and Eloqua didn't integrate with Pivotal.
Zero.
And so immediately you were not a good fit and I'm like, you have to move to Salesforce.
Yeah. You told me that. You remember Robin was the head of marketing. No, she was general manager. I was the head of marketing. She was general manager or president. Maybe her title was president. And you said, as you walked into the conference room, you turned to her and you go, I think you guys are really going to like what you're going to see today. But I'll tell you right now, since it doesn't integrate with your CRM, that's going to be an issue. And I was like, wow, she just DQ'd herself. But you didn't. You DQ'd the CRM. You made it very clear that if you want what I got, you're going to have to change CRM. And sure enough, I backdoored that in, right? I brought in a tele team and into marketing, very first, you know, SDR team, essentially, and said, hey, you guys are going to use Salesforce. And I just used program dollars to get them 7 licenses of Salesforce and then integrated Eloqua with that. So that's kind of like the start of where we need to go, which was we formed a partnership in the sales cycle. I'm like, she really understands the value that the platform brings. She really understands and is doing great qualification on where we are versus where we need to get to. And I think we hit it off because I was a little geeky, right? I was a certain marketing leader profile that resonated with you. That like I liked technology and saw
data.
Yeah.
Technology, process. All that. Like you were back then, there weren't many of you. And so I had a really good spidey sense of when I was talking to someone, whether they would be ready for Eloqua. And then also as I did discovery, whether their company would be really ready for Eloqua. And I just knew like, ding, 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 winner, winner, chicken dinner. Dave Lewis is the guy to bring in Eloqua, as an early adopter. So I just knew.
It was the start of my journey. And coming back to like that sale, that license for $120,000, I remember it was a 12-month license, $10,000 a month. And we told you that we had a really small database, but we were going to grow it to, we did an estimate of how many people that we would market to. And you said, okay, this would be your pricing. And the rest, there weren't various trims back then. It was just like, this is Eloqua. And it's just, how many contacts are you going to add into the database? So that started Jill and I partnership. And because of the podcast today, we want to talk about partnering. It was 3 years. I'm just going to fast forward. Jill knows the story where I was at a conference in Palm Desert and Tony Robbins was on stage And Tony asked the crowd, which was mainly a bunch of entrepreneurs, loan officers, very entrepreneurial type of demographic. And he said, you know, for those of you that want to start your own company someday, write down a recipe of success. Write down a recipe, something that you know how to do or use or believe in, that if you provided that expertise to someone else, they would value it. And I wrote down how to use marketing automation. That's what I wrote down. And then I walked outside. I remember we talked with Malcolm, and I talked with Dave Savage, and I said, guys, I'm going to leave Ellie Mae at some point, and I'm going to start the very first agency, firm, I don't know what to call it, but we're going to help people with the use and adoption of marketing automation and marketing technology. And I called you, and you were super excited, even though you're kind of like, wow, I'm going to lose a great testimonial client. I'm like, you're not losing a testimonial client, Jill. You're gaining a partner. And then what do we do next? We just hit the road.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew, I don't think I was worried about losing a customer because I think big picture, and I knew that you had probably developed your replacement to the point where the Eloqua instance wasn't at risk because you do that, you're a great leader. But I knew immediately the value that you could bring to my pre-sales. I didn't really have a solutions consultant back there. Back then I was doing my own demos.
Yeah.
And you know, as the technology became more sophisticated with more capabilities, I needed someone who, could be with me in the field. And, I knew that you would bring immediate credibility because you could tell the story and the journey of Ellie Mae. So I was super fired up, and heck yeah, this is a great idea.
I was telling you earlier, like, do you realize what you set in motion? And I was thinking about my career and Tiffany and the rest of the team and all the past team members of Demand Gen and the current team members and the people to come. Like, I've been thinking about that contribution that you made, but when you add layers to it, think of all the clients that we've exposed marketing automation, marketing technology to, and how their careers have just thrived, and they have done so well, and there's so many of them. And then there's the whole ecosystem, which you and I got around. So what Jill and I figured out, either because it was well planned, no. We just said we need to bring like-minded people together. So we started an Eloqua user group in the Bay Area. And it was right, it was before I had left Ellie Mae, a little bit before that. We were kind of like bringing community together, but also testing the market for the appetite of people who would want to learn these technologies. So one thing I will tell you, marketeers who are looking to build your brand and build your customer base, is user groups still to this day, whether it's online or physical. It's a wonderful way, just building community around your product and building evangelists. So we're having these user group meetings. You were able to get Salesforce's office. They let us use that. You just made a phone call because you had worked at Salesforce and you're like, hey, I need a space. I think they even catered it for us, which was really cool. So we started doing these user group meetings, and then people were very interested. And so Jill and I would hit the road together once I started the company. She was the sales person. She was the one that was signing the licenses for Eloqua. And then we were doing the implementations and all the onboarding and going forward. I remember calling you one day and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to start working on some stuff, because everybody thinks these are just batch and blast engines. These are just like big email cannons, and they don't really understand that you can do scoring and nurturing and all this stuff. And we talked about the serious decisions model and said, well, let's operationalize that. Let's turn that into a system and get people to do that. Let me ask you some questions about this. Like, why? Like, why did you partner with me as a sales rep at that time? Like, why? Because we were in the car together all the time. We were traveling door to door, and Jill and I took down some accounts, like Salesforce became a client, like LinkedIn, Medtronic, which was Covidian back then, Sage.
Citrix Online.
Yeah. Huge, huge companies. And it was Jill and I. She was the sales rep. And like you said, I was kind of like your solutions consultant, disguised as a solution consultant, but really a guy who wanted to do their implementation and go on the journey. Why did you partner?
I actually, Eloqua was headquartered in Toronto. And so all of our customer success, professional services, all of those folks were in Toronto. And I believe, and still to this day, even though we're in this COVID environment, which we'll get out of, face-to-face and building those relationships and spending time in the room and reading body language, not just digital body language, I believe all of that was important. And you were there. Like, we lived in the same town. So from a making sense for the customer and the customer experience, the credibility that you brought, the experience that you brought, I've always had a philosophy of never sell alone, partner to win. And I knew that not only could you get our customers up and running, time to value faster, but that you would be able to help them leverage more of the capabilities in the Eloqua platform, which would then improve, upsell. We could sell them more capabilities, and that they would renew more frequently. And that all came true. And, if you look at also NPS, we would survey customers who worked with partners and, successful customers. A ton of our successful customers were demand gen clients. And in fact, our marquee awards, our annual customer awards, many of our, marquee award-winning customers were your customers. Mm-hmm. And when your business is all about making customers successful, you bring in service providers, but also other, technology that complements your solution. And, you hook them up with other customers like them who have had success, right? You surround your customers with people and resources and technology that will make them more successful. And I've always, loved customers.
Do you realize though how rare you are? Because I will tell you, like I know a lot of the top Adobe sellers and I'm friends with them, but they sell the license and they use their own professional service. And there's no apologies about it. That's what they do. Because a lot of reps are concerned that if you bring in a partner, they might queer the deal in some way. That they're supersizing the services or they're taking money away from the license. But that was never you. You bucked the trend. Eloqua had their own smart starts and other programs, and you would tell management, like, yeah, I'm not selling those because I'm going to bring in a partner. And you brought us, I would say, almost every single time. Maybe there was times you worked with other partners, but you bucked the trend. And so if we're talking on the podcast today about, does this model work? Should marketing teams help their sales team or sales leaders encourage their sales teams to find people like you to go to market with? How scalable is it really?
Well, it's a different profile. Right? It's a different profile of a different kind of seller. And, salespeople that are more transactional and don't understand the value of connecting the dots on behalf of the customer, then you're not going to have sellers who are as partner friendly. It also is, making sure that the company brings on the right partners that can, we had some definite failed partnerships at Eloqua. Mm-hmm. That wasn't us, but there were failed partnerships from a services provider and from technology. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that, at the executive leadership team, that they are really, qualifying in and out potential partners and not wasting a bunch of time with partners who aren't going to be a good fit. I was telling someone the other day, like, there weren't any demand generation agencies. There weren't any marketing automation agencies back then. In there were just like branding, positioning, website development. There really wasn't back then what you the first agency that you created in this category. So, I just think there's got to be a long-term view, and it's got to be someone who's collaborative. And not, sharp elbows stay out of my deal. There's a building of trust, right? And then there's a sharing internally. Mm-hmm. Like, Demand gen rocks. Why am I closing more deals? Why are my customers more successful? Because I work with demand gen. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure internally that you're, you know, and everyone wants to know what the best top performing reps are doing. So shine the spotlight on the best top performing reps and have them tell what their secret weapons are.
Yeah.
And demand was one of my secret weapons.
Yeah. You were difficult for me to say thank you to. I don't know if I actually to this day have ever, you know, found a way. Oh, it's going to make me sad. I don't know if I've ever found a way to thank you for what you've done. You know, I try, and you know, I'll get you little gift cards. I took you to lunch one time, gave you a nice little Christmas gift. It's just never enough to say thank you. But I also think as we're talking about this, like when I talk about the model scaling, like you can't spiff a rep that you're working with necessarily. It depends on the industry. I remember, by the way, I was gonna say when I was a kid, when I was 22 and worked for Microsoft, I went to Maricel and showed up in the office, and it was vendor day. And there was a guy from CorelDRAW. Do you remember CorelDRAW? Is that
maybe? Yes, I do.
Like way back before Adobe Illustrator, you know?
Yeah, CorelDRAW. I remember that, definitely.
So this guy walks in, can I remember his name? He walks in with a Halliburton briefcase, which is those metal looking, really nice cases. And he opens it up. It's almost like from Pulp Fiction. He spins it on the table as he's doing his CorelDRAW demo. And he says to all the Maricel reps, and I have this for you. And he opens it up and it's filled with money. It's just filled with cash. And he says, I'm going to give this to the manager. He's going to have it in his office. And every time you sell a copy of CorelDRAW, go grab $100 from him. And there was like, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in there. And I'm like, holy cow, I just came out of college. Like, this is how business is done. Like, look at this. But maybe back then, I mean, today, like, you know, we work with the Adobe reps and they get commissions. We work with a lot of other guys and certainly we'll go for dinner and we'll have fun and not cross any ethical boundaries. But how do you say thank you? How is there a model that other than the value you were getting from happy customers, what's a financial model? Is there a financial model for partners to work together? Because I don't really know of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is. I think there's a way to structure those models. Again, it has to have that executive level structure and support. I do believe that in particular, especially in technology, there are referral fees, right? And so I do think if we're going to move to a model where it's a co-sell and you really want to get salespeople co-selling with partners, especially from, you know, a services perspective, especially if I could use my internal services team as opposed to using a partner's services team. And let's say I got paid on selling my internal services, but I didn't get paid on my partner services. That's tough for a sales rep, right? Like, compensation, commissions, and then also quota relief. Now, most SaaS companies do not provide quota relief on professional services, but there are some who I'm sure do. And so if I only get quota relief if I sell my professional services versus partner services, mm-hmm. that's going to drive my behavior.
Yeah.
I think as we move, you know, and evolve to this partner co-sell model, compensation plans need to be evaluated because comp plans drive behavior.
Right.
They absolutely do.
Yeah, for sure. We just closed another global enterprise with rep from Adobe and with Keith Burrows, who you know very well.
And, oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. And you know, how do you say thank you to someone like that for joint selling? And I know intrinsically to him, he's happy.
Yeah.
But you just want to do more than that.
I got it. Just because you brought up Keith, his wife, Michelle Burrows,
yeah.
was literally one of my first, actually before Ellie Mae signed Genesis Conferencing. Don't know if anyone remembers Genesis Conferencing,
sure.
not Genesis Telecom,
yeah.
but Genesis, like they competed with WebEx.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember actually, going into my first meeting with them and my bag, briefcase, if you will, it was a WebEx briefcase. I'm like, holy I'm getting ready to walk into Genesis conferencing. So I had to turn it around to make, yeah, exactly. Oops is right. They, and Denise Pearson, who now is the CMO of Snowflake, like the most successful IPO there's been. They were literally in 2002, one of my first customers. And Denise and I traded notes the other day because she just did a presentation at Saster talking about Snowflake's five pillars of their marketing strategy. And they have centered their strategy around customers, customer success, customer advocacy, and doing all sorts of things to really engage customers and have this centricity of customers. And I sent her a note. She's like, yeah, that's who you were in 2002. And I thank you for that. And I remember it to this day.
I remember Denise. Do you know why? Because that was a joint sell. We did on 24's implementation. That was another one of our wins together.
Yeah. She's on the board of On24.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Let's pivot a little bit.
Sure.
Well, actually, I want to get to the next topic, but you're very self-aware. And do you know how many times, like, you remember your manager, Keith and Joe, they would say, Dave, you and Jill work really, really well together. I said, yeah. They go, she is so high maintenance. The highest maintenance salesperson I've ever had on my team. Like, she drives me insane. I'm like, I love her. I mean, she's great.
I think most high maintenance.
Yeah.
I held everybody to a high standard of doing what's right by the customer. And if that meant we had to change stuff internally, if that meant we had to restructure, if that meant we needed to put resources on it. I was high maintenance with the product team. I was high maintenance with our business development team. I was high maintenance with our marketing team because we needed to do the kind of marketing that, fast forward to when Marketo came along, we needed to do the kind of marketing that Marketo was doing.
Yeah.
And we needed messaging. Marketo came along and Eloqua was the king, right? And Marketo comes along with this messaging that they're cheaper, easier, and faster.
Right.
What marketer doesn't want cheaper, easier, faster, in particular when it relates to technology that many of their people don't have the skills to actually operate?
Right.
So I was like, and initially the Eloqua executive team didn't believe that Marketo could be a viable competitor.
Yeah.
I remember Keith saying you can buy Marketo for the price of a round of drinks and that they're an SMB. They're a really low SMB play. And I said, every day we wake up now thinking about how we can serve down market, we don't just be the enterprise provider. Mm-hmm. And every day they wake up thinking, how can they move into the enterprise?
Yeah.
They will catch us. And lo and behold, they lapped Eloqua.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, so you were the self-proclaimed and then awarded Eloqua Queen. And high maintenance, but high performance, crushing it, always number one. And so they put up with your shtick because you got it done and your heart was in the right place. But yeah, they used to talk about how challenging you were. So,
by the way, the trophy I have behind me.
Oh, there it is. Go grab that.
And this trophy was in 2011. And this is the highlight of my time at Salesforce. Prior to this was us closing Salesforce.com as a customer together.
Nice.
That was the highlight of my career at Eloqua. But this employee of the year as a individual quota carrying salesperson who was super high maintenance.
Yeah.
This was everything.
2011, Eloqua of the year. She is holding up the trophy. It looks just like the Academy Award, made by the same company. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you know what we
and
got?
We gave these to our customers.
I know.
This is the marquee award ceremonies that I was talking about. We would give our customers, and there would be tons of submissions, like hundreds of submissions for a small number of awards.
Right.
And those were our best customers that deserved to be recognized for the journeys that they were on.
Together with our clients, when last time I counted, 47 joint awards with our clients for that. It was massive. 2011 by the year was the year that we won, not won, that we were listed on the Inc. 500 as one of the fastest growing companies. So you won that award, but you also, in many ways, helped win the Inc. 500 award because you really helped grow our business. We went from $400,000 in our first year of revenue. I think by that time, we had won like $5 million in revenue. And when you grow that fast in 3 years, you get awards for it. It's not like it was $50 million or $100 million. I'm not saying we were just ginormous, but that, you know, for a client-funded, people-based business, billing by the hour, it was amazing. you almost made me cry earlier on the podcast just because tears of joy. I did make you cry in Starbucks.
Remember
that? Yeah.
As I brought up Marketo, mm-hmm. I had flashbacks of sitting in that Starbucks right in Danville.
Yep.
And being flat out, how could you?
Right.
Like, how could you?
I sit the Ella Queen down and I tell her, hey, Jill, our business is growing and it's doing well. And I've gotten to know the folks at Marketo really well. And I think what they're building is going to be either number two or number one. And I think they're already at number two. You used to call them Marcrapo. So yeah. Like me telling you this, people that are now business partners, but now close friends, family friends, you know, kids grow up together, know each other. And I'm telling Jill that I'm cheating on her, that I have another partner that I'm going to start going to market with. And you started crying and I felt horrible. Yeah. And the only day that I ever felt better, like, was when you actually joined Marketo as their chief evangelist. I'm like, see, but that was tough to,
I never, ever would have imagined. My daughters were young at the time. I have, three stepkids as well. And, they were young when, you know, I was competing with Marketo and there was no purple allowed in our house.
Yeah.
I owned nothing that was purple because that was Marketo's color. You know, I was in red.
Yeah.
I was bleeding Eloqua red. And I think it was twofold. One, it was like, ouch. Like we were at the beginning of this and we did this together and we built this, you know, incredible market. And we've helped so many, you know, marketing leaders develop in their careers. And you know, I'm fiercely competitive.
Yes.
And I knew Marketo could win. And I knew if they were bringing in demand gen, because initially they didn't sell services. They're like, it's so easy. You can get up and running with point and click. You don't need services.
They were anti.
And so when you agreed and joined their, you know, community, I'm like, oh, okay. Now things are going to get really interesting. Because if they're admitting to the market that their customers need services, well, they're making progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a big day of change. We got past it. You didn't talk to me for a little while. I would say at least a couple of weeks, if not a month. You weren't returning my calls. It was tough.
Remember Workday? We're airing some dirty laundry.
Oh boy, I do. Not until now. Yeah. But the shoe had been on their foot. It said, like, for those of you guys, we'll take you a little inside baseball. So Jill and I are joint selling Salesforce. And there is no account that Jill wants to win more in her career than Salesforce because she worked there and kept her BlackBerry and was like, I will one day come back and sell to you and sell you Eloqua. And you did. And the way that... Look, you did a phenomenal job in the sales cycle. Lisa Lee was a great client. She's smart, just like you said, that profile of just a person who really gets it. And so she said to me, hey, Dave, what's your thought on Eloqua versus Marketo? Which is exactly what you always wanted. You wanted them to have a trusted advisor in addition to you to ask that tough question. And I said, Jill, do you have an hour? And she goes, to make a decision like this, take as much time as you want. I go, let me show you something on my screen. So I called up Eloqua. And I had went to one of the client instances and I pulled it up and I said, I'm going to create a filter and show you how to do it. So what I'm doing is basically defining a marketing segment in Eloqua. And I'm going to say that state equals CA, the state field equals CA, and the industry equals, I can't remember what, let's say it was tech or something like that. And I go save. And I go, look at that, 123 records. Let me tell you, this database has over 2.2 million records in it. And that happened instantly. And she goes, okay. I go, now let me pull up Marketo. And I said, you ready? This database, by the way, that I'm showing you has 200,000 records in it. And I'm creating a filter. And I said, I'm only going to say state equals CA. She goes, okay. And I hit save. I said, I asked you if you have an hour. So I want you to go have lunch, take some time. And then when you're done with lunch, call me back and I'll show you it might be done by then. because they had really never cracked a database over a couple hundred thousand records way back then. And that was it. The deal was over. I mean, she's like, yeah, that's not the solution that we can bring into our business, when they had like 12 million records or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was one little feature demo of how fast it took to build a segment. I said, now think of these little things that I just showed you as subroutines. And so if you're building a nurture and there's a logic path and it has to do a calculation like that, how long is that going to take? How long is this going to take? And it was a death knell. And, you know, the execs, remember, at the top, they're negotiating at the highest level of trying to, like, you're not going to be, you know, at Dreamforce, and you're going to, and this is going to be problematic for you. And you and I are like, yeah, let them fight it out. But to Lisa, she needed a platform that was going to scale. And then that day that you cried and the road ahead is, it's kind of like when Marketo grew up, handled large databases, add a lot of capabilities to their platform. And then Eloqua was falling behind after the acquisition after Oracle. I mean, Eloqua 10 was a really big deal, but have we ever seen Eloqua 11 or Eloqua 12 or Eloqua 13? We've seen enhancements.
Well, it was, Dave, the day that because we went public, Eloqua went public in August of 2012. And I was on the NASDAQ for that. And that was amazing, being there to ring the bell.
Yeah.
You know, it's being a female with, you know, most of those ceremonies back then were all, you know, all male, white men. And so that was awesome. And I felt amazing. And that was so, like, incredible. And one of the worst days of my career was December 2012, when Heidi Malin, who was the CMO of Eloqua at the time, called me to tell me that we were getting acquired by Oracle. And it tore me apart, because I knew that the Eloqua that I knew would no longer be. Mm-hmm. I knew that we had had too many customers, Eloqua customers, Taleo. Remember Taleo?
Oh yeah.
And when they were acquired by Oracle, they made Taleo rip out Eloqua. And remember when they lost visibility to the pipeline?
Yeah.
And that they couldn't do all of their reporting that they needed to do, because they were a revenue marketing organization, because you were working with them. And that was when, you know, after, you know, Oracle had made a number of acquisitions of Eloqua customers. They ripped out Eloqua because, you know, they ripped out Salesforce. And so I knew the day that Oracle acquired Eloqua, that was the beginning of the end of Eloqua's reign as, you know, as the king. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had already started. Marketo was already, you know, coming up and winning a lot of deals. But that was the nail in the coffin.
Jill, after the acquisition, because you had been selling for Eloqua for years. How many years was it?
Ten years.
And you knew things were going to change. So you made a play for a completely different path. You had a conversation with Alex. I don't even know how it went. But that, again, talk about catalyst, talk about triggers, movement towards social selling. Was that, how did that go down? And was that your catalyst for your passion and flow into, like, social selling?
Yeah. Look, I had become branded as, you know, a social selling evangelist, social selling queen. And this was back in, you know, 2012, when Eloqua was acquired by Oracle. And I didn't want to stay in the Eloqua business unit, because I knew that that was the beginning of the end of the culture that we had built at Eloqua, the centered around the customer. And I knew product, you know, innovation would stop, because all the product effort would be based on integrating Eloqua with other Oracle products. So I just knew it was bad, and I didn't want to be part of it. And I was leaving. I was not going to stay. I was never going to be an employee at Oracle, not a single day. And I was in Mexico with my parents and my husband, Phil. And I remember getting the call from Alex Schutman, who was then the president of Eloqua. And he said, I want you to consider something. There's an opportunity at Oracle, not in the Eloqua business unit, where Mark Hurd has figured out that Oracle's spending about $100 million a year on sales training. And it's all decentralized, in region, in product. And he's going to bring it all together. And what they wanted me to do as part of that centralized Oracle Sales Academy was to develop and roll out a global social selling program to empower and enable Oracle's entire sales force to leverage the power of digital and social in their selling process. that to me was a career opportunity to move from being an individual contributor mm-hmm. to having a massive platform. At that time, I think it was a $40 billion company, and be in this role of evangelist. And my purpose, I had gotten real clarity. My purpose was to elevate the sales profession and enrich other people's careers. And I felt like I had done that a lot in the marketing world.
Yeah.
And now it was time for me to do that in the sales world. And so that's the only reason. I knew from day one of being an Oracle employee that it was only a matter of time of being fired. I knew that there would be a cultural misfit and that it would blow up at some point. But I took that opportunity to have that platform, mm-hmm. which then launched my professional speaking career.
It did.
And just gave me a whole lot more credibility. Yeah. And by going public with being terminated and telling my side of the story, that earned me, I was talking to a CMO today and she's like, when I read that, I was applauding you. Everyone was like, go Jill Rowley. You went against the beast and you won. Being fired, I won by being fired.
You were so bold and courageous. That entered the purple cape era, which I remember calling you back and said, wait, when are you going to tone that down just a little? Because I was worried, you know, we talked about this in the first podcast. There are people who love Jill and there are your haters. And is it Taylor Swift that says, if you don't have any haters, you're not doing enough, or someone like that?
Totally. I wasn't afraid of that.
No, not at all.
And I did need to tone it down. That was wisdom and age and maturity. And I did need to tone it down. And fortunately I have.
You have. Let's touch on that before I let you go. And for everybody listening, if you ever need advice on social selling, reach out to Jill. Jill Rowley, Rowley. If you want to talk about the modern seller and get advice, talk to Jill. If you are a marketing leadership team and want to talk about sales and marketing alignment, talk to Jill, because she's just master in all of these areas and has been a phenomenal business partner to me. And the reason I'm saying all those things, because I want you guys to do all that, because she's a great person to have in your network, a wealth of knowledge, has moved into investing. But I need to ask you, and I'm no Steve Jobs, but I'm going to say, I do have a black sweatshirt on today, actually, but I'm no Steve Jobs. You know the story of what Steve said to John Sculley when he wanted John to come lead Apple?
You tell me.
He said, are you going to sell sugared water your whole career or change the world? And right now, you have gone from someone who has contributed immensely to the field of marketing, to the discipline of selling. You have helped countless careers. I mean, every marquee winner, my whole team, past, present, future, the entire industry of modern marketers have been impacted by what you brought to market and what you've done. And you have turned your entire focus 100% to family. So you've gone from being an all-in worker, one of the hardest workers I know, and the pendulum was all the way there, to now you have swung it to being an all-in mother, which is amazing and phenomenal that you and Lily Kate have the relationship and what you're doing. In 2 years from now-ish, she's going to go off to college and you're going to be at home. Are we going to get you back in the field to keep having the impact that you've had in other ways?
Like you, I can't predict the future, but I have desperately missed the marketing community and I've desperately missed really SaaS in general. I also moved out of the Bay Area and I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. And so the energy is different, but I needed to do that because if I wanted to move away from being a workaholic, I needed to put myself in a different environment. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing. Lily Kate's 16 and 2.5 years, she goes to college and it's just been incredible to be at home in the kitchen when she gets home from school every day at 3:15 and to be able to make her a snack. Like, I didn't used to do that because I had nannies. right? And I wasn't there when the kids walked in the door off the bus, and I didn't, you know, and if I was, I was on my device.
Yeah, right? I was going to say, if you were there, you were not there for sure. You called yourself out on that.
Yeah.
But you're missed, Jill. So when you're ready again, we will welcome you all with open arms, because you're just not done with what you can contribute on the career side of your life. So we'll talk.
And you know who knows that, you know, equally as well as you do is my husband.
Yeah.
And he sees some of the just the energy and just the you know, I'm so I just love helping transform people, businesses and markets. And it's what I'm really good at. And so I do miss it. And there's some little bit of work I've been doing recently. Mm. The very purpose-driven company, a mission of democratizing access to education for our frontline workers.
Wow.
And it's just a brilliant female founders and female president and COO. Diversity is, you know, hugely important. And that's what they're doing. They're impacting access to education for a diverse population that hasn't had access. So anyways, I have been doing a little, and what I'm monitoring is can I have it in moderation? Can I actually do things more in moderation? So we'll see. I never know. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I do miss the community. I miss the ecosystem. I miss, you know, working with you on a regular basis. And so, yeah, I see myself in this world for much longer.
Awesome. Thank you. I think the world thanks you when you're back. We'll hold you accountable to that. I've done that with Carlos, you know, Carlos, who wrote the book, The Un-American Dream. Like you, got unbalanced. And when he and I started to work together again, he said, the one thing I'm worried about, and he told me, you know, essentially that workaholism, I said, I'll hold you accountable there. I said, I'll never call you at night. I'll never call you on the weekend. If I do, it's super urgent and probably personal, but I'll respect those boundaries because you need those boundaries. So if we all know, the people who care about you, love you, work with you, that we need to keep you there, we will do that. And Phil, as you know, loves you to the moon and back. Yeah. And, you know, you and I were almost like, we're not police officers, but it felt like when I would show up in your kitchen that we were putting on our gear for the day, and Phil was sending us off with our coffee and banana. You were always a healthy eater. When you would go to grab your pack, I say, hey, Phil, how's she doing? He's like, you know, Jill, she just loves what she does. She's doing good, Dave. She's doing real good. And I'm like, okay, I'll have her back before dinner. We got a full day of us, but we'll go do that. Well, I want to end where we started. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
This podcast for me is the last page of that part of the journey, right? Mm-hmm. We are now part of BDO Digital, and every podcast going forward will be a little different focus. I'm still going to be meeting with clients. I'm still going to be meeting with clients to be. I'm still going to be bringing on great MarTech companies to the podcast and you know, best-selling authors. But I wanted to have the last page of my journey where it started with you and introducing me to Eloqua. Had I not filled out that demo request form and had you call me, who knows how things would be differently. So thank you for the journey and thank you for the partnership. I can't find enough ways to say thank you, but I'll keep trying.
Well, congratulations to you, Dave, and the whole Demand Gen team, to Tiffany as well, your secret weapon. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a great partnership because you focused on the things that were important to me, and that was customer success and, you know, enriching other people's careers and lives. So thank you as well.
You're proud welcome. Thank you. Love you. Give my best to Phil. Give Lily Kate a big hug. Hopefully, is she right there?
Right there. She's doing homework.
Hi, yep. Lily Kate. Give her my best.
I will.
All right, you guys. Let's switch scenes real quick. That is going to do it for this episode of Demand Gen Radio. Thank you, guys. It is, you know, we're approaching Q2. About 20% of California has their shots, and more people are getting them. The world is coming out. The thing I didn't say to Jill when she was right virtually next to me is I have an idea for a big party for all of us, because I think we need to get out in the wild. And I was thinking that it's time for us all to see each other. So stay tuned for more on that. Thank you for tuning in to Demand Gen Radio. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Demand Gen Radio, bringing you the top industry experts, thought leaders, authors, marketing technology firms, and senior marketing leaders from around the world to teach you the methods and technologies for high-performance marketing.